ललाभ गिरिवरधारी गोपी जनवल्लभ गिरिवरधारी यशोदनन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन यशोदनन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन जमुनतीरावनचारी जमुनतीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी गोपी जनवल्लभ गिरिवरधारी यशोदानन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन यशोदनन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन जमुनतीरावनचारी जमुनतीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nitai Gaura Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Nitai Gaura Hari Bol. Jai Jai Prabhupad, 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 Jai Srila Prabhupad.
हरिनाम संकीर्तन की। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्रजाकचार्य अष्टोत्तर षट श्रीमद् हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्रजाकचार्य अष्टोत्तर षट श्रीमद् हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर श्रील प्रभुपाद की। इस्कॉन भीबीटी फाउंडर आचार्य श्रील प्रभुपाद की। नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की। प्रेम से कहिए श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड श्री गिरिराज गोवर्धन की। वृंदावन मथुरा धाम की। नवद्वीप मायापुर धाम की। पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की। गंगा मैया जमुना मैया की। भक्ति देवी तुलसी महारानी की। समवेत गौर भक्त वृंद की। समवेत गौर भक्त वृंद की। समवेत गौर भक्त वृंद की। गुरु और गौरांग की। सो आई वेलकम ऑल guests on today's Sunday Feast Festival. First of all, I also seek all of your blessings, and the blessings of my senior God brothers and my Shiksha gurus who have taught me. I have been hearing them since so many years and I am still hearing. So by whatever I could collect from in my so many years of Shravanam, so I would present the same thing that I am hearing. So I thank them very much for giving me this opportunity. So today, like many years ago, one of my teachers and friend, Shri Kishore Prabhu, he asked me whether I have read the Chaitanya Charitamrita or am I reading Chaitanya Charitamrita. So my answer was no. So he told me, this happened in email conversation. So he told me that you are missing something big in your life. So then onwards I have not yet picked up on Chaitanya Charitamrita, but I now and then again I try to, I remember that instruction and I feel that like this opportunity, I have taken it as a serious move from my side to, you know, take up this Chaitanya Charitamrita that Srila Prabhupada has given us and delve deep into it. At least let this be the beginning in my life. So I'll begin with this pastime of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, when he was taking his disciples, he was arranging for his disciples to have proper stay in Vrindavan. His disciples, Shyam Sundar Prabhu, Gurudas Prabhu, they were going on a morning stroll in Vrindavan, Brajdham. So at that time, one of the shopkeepers, they invited them, please come and, you know, grace my shop by honoring all these sweets that I have made. Sandesh, Barfi and all, Rasgulla. So then they looked at each other and then they went to the shop and started taking all that. So their mouths were full in Vrindavan Dham, because everyone is a devotee. They have heard from Prabhupada that it's okay to take sweets from shop. But at the same time, they knew the strict standard that Prabhupada had taught them, that they should, you know, they should be eating only those things that are first offered to Krishna. So their mouths were full with rasgulla, rasmalai, and at that time they saw suddenly Prabhupada's car, you know, pass by. So then they didn't get time to hide themselves. So they thought of they were caught kind of red-handed. But then now when they looked behind, they saw that the car was, you know, coming behind. So now they expected, you know, that maybe Prabhupada will now kind of dart on them and, you know, give them some dose of chastisement for, you know, just freely frolicking. This was the batch of devotees like Shyam Sundar Prabhu, Gurudas Prabhu. They were like not strictly following the, they were considered as not so strict devotees. In the sense, they used to get up a little late because they were senior devotees and they had done already so many service for Prabhupada. They have got George Harrison and many, they had started the Hare Krishna in Europe, and it was a great sensation. So, and these were the senior disciples, so the other disciples did not, you know, kind of force them to do. So now they thought they'll get some kind of dose, because Prabhupada was heavy on most of his disciples. But then Prabhupada, he moved down that glass window, and then he peeped out and he looked towards these disciples and he said, "Ah, Bengali sweets, very essential for life." And then he smiled and then he went back to the temple. So then they thought, oh, now it has all become bona fide. So then they thought it was a serious thing. Now Bengali sweets are the things that Prabhupada liked. So in some other future occasion, the Prabhupada was distributing sweets. So then these devotees, they hurried and arranged some Bengali sweets to be offered to Srila Prabhupada, so that Prabhupada can also honor it. So then when they got the Bengali sweets, so at that time Prabhupada noted, yes, Bengali sweets, very essential. And then Prabhupada, there was a copy of Chaitanya Charitamrita. He said, no, this is the real Bengali sweet. And so this pastime is kind of, this is essentially the real Bengali sweet. In fact, I remember in my earlier days before coming to Krishna consciousness, we used to always feel, you know, the Bengali language is so odd, out of the way. But now after coming to the Hare Krishna movement, we can experience that sweetness of Bengali language. Bhakti Vinod Thakur said that in the future, there will be a time where people from the West will come and they will want to tutor themselves with, they want to learn this Bengali so that they can go deeper into, you know, Chaitanya Charitamrita, so that they can go into the, you know, actual rasa of Chaitanya Charitamrita. And actually, if you go to Mayapur, you will find many Bengali coaching classes. There are Western devotees who are seriously, you know, after learning Bengali. So we can just imagine that how much pain Srila Prabhupada has taken in giving us these books. Otherwise, just we can think that this literatures of Prabhupada, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna book, all these books were originally in Sanskrit and maybe in some vernacular language, and most of those translations were not as it is, and most of the translations, it will be having a Mayavadi perspective, and even after reading that, we will not understand head and tail about, you know, what is spiritual life. So easily the, you know, substance of teachings of Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita and Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada has made available to us by so simple, easy, lucid and translation from Paramprava. So many times, like we should also not read these books like we read ordinary books and novels, all because, you know, it is in English or it is in Hindi, and you can read it, and we should not be reading these books just like books, but we should, you know, try to soak in and, you know, take shelter of these books. That is the way these books will reciprocate with us. Unless we really deeply study and value these books, the real knowledge won't transfer into our consciousness. We can imagine how much pains Srila Prabhupada took in writing Chaitanya Charitamrita, especially, is that before even he completed his, I mean, he could not complete his Bhagavatam translations. He could do only till, you know, initial portion of 10th canto. So, fearing that he'll not be able to, you know, touch on Lord Chaitanya's Leela, and he wanted to make Lord Chaitanya's Leela available to his disciples and to the people in general. So that every one of his disciples will be able to relish this. So, he, in between only, like, you know, before his Bhagavatam got completed, he started translating Chaitanya Charitamrita, like, in, you know, very fast. Like, so fast that his disciples were not able to keep pace with him. And then he was able to, he completed all the translation of CC 9 volume, and then still the publication and proof, all these things were taking time. So he called his disciple Rameshwar Prabhu at that time, who was in charge of this, and then he told that, you know, like, you have to complete this, and he was very strong about completing it. So you have to complete all this work in 2 months. So Rameshwar Prabhu said that it's impossible to do in 2 months. But then Prabhupada insisted that in 2 months only he has to do, and there is no other way. So these disciples were also great that they reciprocated with desire of Srila Prabhupada. They saw that their guru has given them an impossible task. You know, we can imagine that how much time it takes to publish a book, even a small book in our maybe 2002 or 3, our temple, we had published this Prerana book series, the Revival, Conquest, and that 2-3 volumes are there. So it took so much of energy to, you know, bring out one book. So, but the target given by Srila Prabhupada to his disciples was to do all the editing and proofreading, and even including paintings that you find in the book, everything in 2 months' time for all these volumes. So they said, okay, whatever help you need, Prabhupada said, I will give. In the sense, whichever artists, men you have to call from all around the world, that will be given. So all that was given, and they, you know, took up this marathon task of, you know, trying to bring out this Chaitanya Charitamrita volumes, and they did it in 2 months for the pleasure of their guru Srila Prabhupada. And how they did it is like, it was, everyone was working in 24-hour shift. So someone will do the painting, and in the painting he is extending himself, and when he will be, you know, really out, like he has to sleep. So while painting, then he will lie there itself and sleep. And the other person, when the new next painter will come, he will put his, like, he'll kind of shift his body aside, and then he'll continue the painting. And then similarly, editing, proofreading, everything was done, you know, in 24-hour shift. So so that we ourselves will also reciprocate with this, you know, this big effort by his disciples and Srila Prabhupada to give Chaitanya Charitamrita to us. So in reciprocation with that, like, we should at least be, you know, reverentially reading these books. So this attempt over here in this class is for us all is to take a reverential dip in the oceanic work of Srila Prabhupada's literatures, especially Chaitanya Charitamrita. Another one pastime regarding this of how we approach sarovar or a holy river or a holy lake or a holy pond or a holy pukur. Whenever we go to Vrindavan Dham or Mayapur Dham, how do we take a holy dip in that lake? Is we first of all offer obeisance, and then with great awe and reverence we enter the waters. So again, I'll relate one pastime in which in the holiest of all holy places, Srila Prabhupada was getting his disciples to, you know, take their bath in Radha Kund. So all the disciples, they suddenly jumped into Radha Kund and started swimming. So Prabhupada got very angry, and he chastised all of them, and he banned them from, you know, no more No more taking bath in Radhakund. Only take few drops and drink, that's all. And for many years, Prabhupada disciples, they never took bath in Radhakund. But the instruction is given that way because so that whenever we approach a holy place or holy river, we just don't freely, you know, frolic around and enjoy the holy place. So similarly, in the same mood, the shastra that has come out of the mouth of the devotee, mouth of the great souls, mouth of the Lord also, Bhagavad Gita is directly from the mouth of the Lord. So when we try to cleanse ourselves by exposing ourselves with that sound vibration, we should do it in a very reverential way, in a very in a mood of taking shelter. Then its effect is much more greater on us. Hare Krishna. So we'll try to study in the preface what Srila Prabhupada has explained. Prabhupada explains that the teachings of Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita is the same thing that Lord Chaitanya teaches, only that Lord Chaitanya is actually showing us the whole teachings in his own demonstration, in his own application, in his own dealings with his devotees. So it's the same thing. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna, he says like, sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam braja. So Lord Krishna asks all the conditioned souls through Arjuna. Through Arjuna, he is asking every one of us to take shelter of his own lotus feet, Lord Krishna's lotus feet. So the same thing, even Lord Chaitanya is also explaining that we are, supposed to take shelter of the Lord. And and if a person takes shelter of the Lord, then ma shucha, there is nothing to fear. The Lord takes care of all the sinful activities, provided he has taken the process of sharanagati seriously. The process of sharanagati is like loving surrender of the devotee towards the Lord. That is sharanagati. So there is like, you know, six aspects to this sharanagati. So that six aspect is anukulasya sankalpa pratikulasya varjanam rakshishyati iti vishwaso goptrupte varnam tatha atma nikshepa karpanya shadvida sharanagati. There are six points of the process of taking shelter, how to take shelter. So first thing is accepting things that are favorable for bhakti. Accepting things favorable for bhakti is we are told that we have to chant 16 rounds. That is a minimum thing. Rejecting things unfavorable. So that is the rules and regulations that we follow, like no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, no illicit sex. These are the minimum. Reject. Always believe firmly in the Lord's protection. Rakshayishyati iti vishwaso. Goptruptve varnam tata. Feeling exclusively dependent on the Lord's mercy. This is all the feelings inside the heart. Have no separate, this fifth point is, have no separate interest from that of the Lord. Means our interest should we should try to match our interests with the interests of the Lord. We should not have a separate interest. That mentality that every one of us, we still have, is to kind of enjoy separately from Krishna, to have our independent enjoyment. But we have to kind of align with the interests of the Lord. And in doing so, we also feel benefited. Rishikena irishikesha sevanam bhakti ruchyate. Always feel, and the last sixth point of the sixth limb is always feel oneself meek and humble. Humility. So there is another sutra in Narada, Bhakti Sutra. That is, Ishwarasyapi Abhimani Dveshitvad, Daina Priyatvacha. यानी कि ईश्वर भी बड़ा द्वेषी है, यानी कि द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड ही डज नॉट लाइक प्राइड इन हिज डिवोटी और प्राइड इन एनीवन. इफ यू वांट टू अट्रैक्ट, इफ वी वांट टू अट्रैक्ट द मर्सी ऑफ द लॉर्ड, दैट वी शुड रिलिंक्विश प्राइड. ही डजंट जस्ट एंटरटेन दैट एस्पेक्ट, ही जस्ट डजंट लुक इन दैट डायरेक्शन. देन व्हाट ही लाइक्स इज, ही लाइक्स ह्यूमिलिटी, दिस वन क्वालिटी. सो if we want to attract, it's like unlike poles, you know, they attract us. So if you want to attract the infinite, the great, then we should be humble, right? We can see in practical dealings in this world also, like if you are going to meet a great person, then automatically by nature we become humble. That is otherwise if we don't have any mindset to meet a great person, so we don't have a, we are itself closed. So it is from our sides that we close the connection towards the Lord. So there is an example for this, like we can see from the pastimes that how, you know, like simple people, they have exhibited this quality. It's like Shabari's quality. You can see Shabari, you know, she was in the hermit of Matang Rishi, and after she was just performing menial tasks in Matang Rishi's ashram, and there was a time when all of Matang Rishi's, you know, other disciples, they found it right time for them to go back home, to back to Godhead, to Vaikuntha Loka. So then Matang Rishi instructed Shabari that all of us are going back to Vaikuntha, but you stay here and you wait here, Lord Ram will come here and he will deliver you. So then Shabari just followed the instruction of her spiritual master, and every day she was, you know, like kind of thinking every day like Lord Ram will come, and in this way she, you know, passed her entire youth and old age. And now she was in an old age, and that's when Lord Ram came. So when Lord Ram came, she had already decorated. Every day she is decorating the place with flowers and all, for even fruits and everything. She is keeping it ready so that, you know, Lord Ram can be offered these things. So then when Lord Ram actually came, how she introduced herself, that is very exemplary. Like she introduced herself as, didn't say that, you know, I am the disciple of the great Matang Rishi. She didn't say like that. She just told that I am a lower caste woman, and I have been waiting for you because I have heard from great souls that you are going to come here. So she did not even show anywhere, like, you know, like we say that I am so and so person, I am so and so is my qualification, and all those things we say about ourselves. But when we go in front of a great person, we don't do that. Because in front of a great person, we are supposed to show the meekness. That is what attracts. Similarly, you know, Vibhishan, how he took Sharanagati of the Lord. You know, when Vibhishan, you know, he was coming from Lanka to Lord Ram's army camp, and he was in the air, and Sugriva and the other monkeys, they saw that this Rakshasas, they are up there. And then when Vibhishan said that he wants to meet Lord Ram, so the other monkeys, they were saying that, you know, giving advice to Lord Ram that, you know, these Rakshasas, they are, you know, you cannot trust them. They can, you know, they can use all kinds of devious means to inflict pain on us and cheat us and kill us. So better we kill them only right away, because they would, that jati is like that. So Lord Ram was inquiring from everyone, and finally Lord Ram inquired from Hanumanji also. Because the kind of introduction that Vibhishan gave, Vibhishan did not say that, you know, when Hanumanji had come to Lanka with your message to try to find Mother Sita. I was the one who helped him. Because this is usually what we do, na? When we go to some devotee's place, we go and say that I helped your, you know, man to, you know, do. I did all that arrangements for him. So actually, Vibhishan did all that for Hanumanji, and Hanumanji definitely had positive. Only he said positive about Vibhishan, that, you know, you should. He was staying silent when all the monkeys were, you know, cribbing and complaining and telling that this person should be killed. So Hanumanji said, no, he is your devotee and he has all good qualities, and you should take him, you should give him your shelter. So, but the exemplary introduction that Vibhishan had given about himself is like this to Lord Ram, that I am the brother of your enemy, the ten-headed Ravana who kidnapped your wife. This is his introduction about himself to Lord Ram. You know? So, means he's not telling this with a, you know, a broad chest and all. He's just telling that he's a sinful person. He belongs to a sinful family. Even Prahlad Maharaj, when he is in front of Narsingdev, that he's telling that he's belonging to a low-class family. He's belonging to the Asura class. But he is now given the opportunity to be in front of Narsingdev because Brahmaji had asked him. So, if after these great demigods have, you know, glorified you, what is my qualification to glorify you? So these are the things that, you know, actually endear the Lord. Similarly, we can see the even the onset of Bhagavatam. Like, whom was the Bhagavatam spoken to? Bhagavatam was spoken to Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj is his another one name is Vishnu Rath. Means in the womb only he has seen Vishnu, you know. The 400 Vishnu he had seen with Shankh Chakra Gada Padma, and Vishnu himself personally he protected Parikshit Maharaj. Now, like, he can roam around the world by telling that I am the person who has seen Vishnu, what has, but that person he is humbly sitting at the lotus feet of Shukdev Goswami and hearing the entire Bhagavatam. So the process of, I mean, that is the humility of Parikshit Maharaj, that devotees are naturally humble, like, because they know that this is what the Lord wants. The Lord wants that devotees hear from devotees and discuss about my glories from devotees. So Parikshit Maharaj was not like having the least amount of pride that, you know, he is coming from the Pandava family and he has been personally protected by Vishnu and all those things. Similarly, even the father of Parikshit Maharaj is okay. Even father of Krishna, Vasudevji. Vasudevji is direct father of Krishna, but in the 11th canto, before the Uddhav Gita begins, Vasudevji is humbly inquiring from Narad Muni that, you know, like, definitely Lord Krishna is my son, but then I am a foolish person. I did not, you know, properly, I should have asked him for, you know, to serve him in the spiritual world, but instead of that I asked him to become my son and, you know, kind of give me enjoyment that way. So, please, he was asking Narad Muni to please give him proper instructions before, you know, he leaves this world. So this is the quality of devotees that, you know, please the Lord and endears the Lord. Similarly, but these are the qualities of very advanced, high-class devotees. We can also take the example of how the Lord deals, like if his devotee does exhibit some pride. So what is that? How does the Lord handle it? Like, we can take the case of Indra, like Indra is a devotee of the Lord, but he is a mixed devotee. Much, much, much advanced than us. We are not even in the category of devotees. We are just practicing devotion. So, Indra, like, he is one of the universal managers appointed by the Lord. So, while Krishna was performing his pastimes, and Krishna could understand that, you know, Indra is becoming proud and he is expecting worship from the whole world. So, the whole world in those days, like we can, nowadays we don't hear Indra Puja, but maybe before Lord Krishna's pastime, you know, the Indra Puja would be as famous as present day Diwali maybe. So Indra Puja was going on everywhere, everyone was giving, offerings in the name of Indra, Puja to Indra. Similarly, that was prevalent even in Vrindavan. Krishna's father and was arranging for puja for Indra. And knowing that this is Indra's mood, he wanted to specifically curb the pride of his devotee. And for that purpose, he arranged this and orchestrated this entire pastime of, specifically insulting Indra by using that things that were used for the worship of Indra, that very things, for worshipping Govardhan Hill. Means, for Indra to see, it will be like all the things, paraphernalia collected for his enjoyment is now used to worship an ordinary hill. That is the vision of Indra. So how, Indra's pride was, completely, he was agitated by the Lord, and Indra went to the extent of, Kamsa had always attacked Vrindavan in the full mood of, dotting and, aiming at, generally, all the demons came to kill Krishna and Balram. But Indra, he took up a task of, completely wiping out Vrindavan from the map of the world. He thought that he will just shower so much rain in Vrindavan that, that place will not exist. So he wanted to, in one way, kill everyone related to Krishna at one go. So he, in one sense, was attempting to do a harm much, much at a higher scale than Kamsa's. But still, how did the Lord do? The Lord understood that this is my devotee, but he is getting deviated. So the Lord took care of him by, curbing his pride by seeing that nothing, not even one, na baal bhi baka ne ho gaya. Like, not even one grain of sand is fallen off from Govardhan Hill. And not even a leaf or a grass is being harmed from Govardhan Hill. And by seeing this thing, then his eyes, it opened, and he came and took shelter. So the devotee, when he understands, it's not that what a devotee does, because most of us we are having that dambha, we are having pride in us. But it's not that what we do when we are proud, but once we realize our mistake, what we do, that is important. So Indra, what he did is, he begged forgiveness from the Lord. He got an advanced devotee of the Lord in front, and with the help of that devotee, putting Mother Surabhi in front, he offered prayers to Krishna, and he did worship of Krishna and Abhishek of Krishna, and tried to please the Lord and ask forgiveness from the Lord. Similarly, in Lord Chaitanya's pastime, we know that how there was a devotee, Kalidas, who was always, he was always greedy to serve the Vaishnavas, and he had this special, Mahatvakanksha to always collect the dust of his devotees, devotees of Lord Chaitanya. And somehow or the other, he knew that the devotees won't give their dust, so he used to somehow or the other collect it. Like if the devotee passes by, then the devotee is unaware of the devotees. He used to, fall at that dust and put it in all over his body. And similarly, he wanted to, he ensured that any of the devotees of Lord Krishna in Bengal, all their, Mahaprasad, in the sense, leftover remnants, he wanted to, because this is one of the three powerful, Bhaktapada Doli, Bhaktapada Jal, Bhakta Bhukta Avashesha, Tina Mahabhal. So the dust of the lotus feet of the devotee, the water that has washed the lotus feet of the devotee, and the remnants of the food remaining, you know, after they have taken. So these three things are it's an injunction from Lord Chaitanya. These three things are very powerful to transform our hearts. So he was actually doing it, and he was doing it in a proper mood. So the proper mode of doing this is not just doing the external activity, like there is some group of religious people who kind of externally exhibit so many aspects of renunciation, in the sense, like, for example, they don't even shave their head, they pluck their hair off, and many austerities they do, they fast for several days. But the principle of performing all these austerities, you know, like, to gain attraction for the lotus feet of the Lord. In the sense, the principle of doing all this activity, like bhakta pada dhuli, bhakta pada jal, is to actually serve that Vaishnava. If there is no mood of serving that devotee, then there is no point in taking the dust of the lotus feet of that devotee, or even in you know, honoring the remnants of the from the plate of that devotee. So there is, so the mood should be there, because there is no point otherwise. There is this pastime of another. So Lord Chaitanya, he allowed this Kalidas to wash his own feet also. Usually Lord Chaitanya never allows anyone to, you know, touch his lotus feet. So this devotee Kalidas was allowed by the Lord to wash his own lotus feet, and, you know, after the third time the Lord said, no, now enough is enough. And then special mercy was given. In fact, later on also Lord Chaitanya gave the remnants of his food, his own Mahaprasad, to Kalidas through Swarup Damodar Goswami. So this is the mercy shown to Kalidas, because he used to follow Lord Chaitanya's instruction. Is in becoming, it is like Lord Kalidas was like kind of following this instruction of Vishnu, that, you know, like, anyone who says that I am Vishnu's devotee is not actually Vishnu's devotee. Anyone who says that I am devotee of the Lord, he is actually my devotee. Even Saraswati Thakur, there is a pastime in which he told his secretary that, you know, like, if anyone comes claiming that, you know, I have to meet this Saraswati Thakur, the Mathadish of this Gaudiya Math, because I am a devotee of Krishna. So then Saraswati Thakur told the secretary to inform him that Saraswati Thakur does not have any time for him. He is very busy. But if anyone comes and says that I am a devotee of, you know, devotee of Lord Vishnu, I am a servant of the devotee, and in that, if that is an introduction given by any XYZ, then I have all my time for him. So this is a injunction that acharyas are also giving. And then there is one pastime of Ramdas Vishwas in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime. In this Ramdas Vishwas, he was also exhibiting this quality of menially serving the devotees, but his inner mood was not so. His inner mood is to, you know, become one with the Lord, and his inner mood was more into like, he was proud about his scholarship, Vedic study, Sanskrit, and all those things. So then Ramdas Vishwas, he was accompanying Raghunath Bhatt Goswami to come. They were coming to Puri from Varanasi. So and even Ramdas Vishwas was kind of massaging the feet of Raghunath Bhatt Goswami against the will of Raghunath Bhatt Goswami. He didn't like to take service from Ramdas Vishwas, but he was urging so much that sometimes he did. And then when both of them came and met Lord Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya did not even look in the direction of Ramdas Vishwas. And Ramdas Vishwas was also chanting Lord Ram's name continuously, all the time. So externally, a person may follow all the regulations of chanting the holy names of the Lord and following all the principles, serving the devotees and everything. But inner mood, what is the inner mood? Inner mood is to himself become the Mathadish, or himself, you know, become the great one, or he himself ultimately wants to become one with the Lord. So that inner mood is a thing that the Lord is seeing, and so we should be very careful, because all of us have come to this world with a great aspiration to, you know, become God. And it's only because of coming in touch with the Vaishnavas and Srila Prabhupada, the parampara literature, that, you know, we have kind of got ourselves exposed and understood that how we, although we never, you know, kind of said that I wanted to become Krishna or Ram like that, most of us, but we wanted to be, we always had that mindset, and we still have that, like, I am the, everything is moving around me, like I am running my particular world, in my small world I am the main person who runs the show. So we have to remove ourselves from that center and place Krishna in that center of our life. Elsewhere, Prahlad Maharaj says that this kind of inclination that Lord shows towards his devotees, like Lord is, you know, very inclined towards his devotee, and he is he punishes the demons, or he chastises some other wrongdoer. So is this something the Lord is kind of partial? So no, the Lord is not partial. Prahlad Maharaj is saying Lord is just like a desire tree, kalpataru swabhav. Like the whoever goes in front of the desire tree and puts their requisitions, their requests, and they yearn for it, so the kalpataru, the desire tree, gives. Elsewhere again, Prahlad Maharaj says that not only he's much more than a desire tree, he, even if that devotee is not asking for it, but there are examples in which Ambarish Maharaj was attacked by Durvasa Muni. Durvasa Muni attempted to kill Ambarish Maharaj, but Ambarish Maharaj he did not even ask for protection from the Lord, but the Sudarshan, automatically came for the protection of Ambarish Maharaj. So it is when the devotee is in problem, then the Lord himself personally comes and protects the Lord. So there is one section in 7th canto where Srila Prabhupada is explaining this aspect about the attitude of a devotee, how it affects the relationship between the Lord and the devotee. This is from the 7th canto, 1st chapter, 9th verse. And the title of this chapter is "The Supreme Lord is Equal to Everyone." So I'll read some relevant, easier sections of this purport. We can just, and in between I'll just explain with some examples. The translation, the portion of the translation like this: a thoughtful man can understand how much a person is favored by the Supreme Lord by seeing his actions. The complete translation is like this, that by just seeing the external, by seeing the face of the person, or just superficially looking at a person, we will not understand whether a person is a devotee or a non-devotee. But by seeing his actions, we come to know that he is a devotee. And even if he is a devotee, by seeing the details of his actions, an expert person can understand how much he is being favored by the Lord. So here there is one shloka from 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada is quoting that: yad yad vibhuti matsatvam shrimadurjitam eva va Taddad eva vagachatvam mama tejom sa sambhavam. Know that all beautiful, glorious and mighty creations spring but a spark of my splendor. We have practical experience of seeing that one person is able to do wonderful things whereas another cannot do the same things and cannot even do things that require only a little common sense. Therefore, how much a devotee has been favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be tested by the activities the devotee has performed. So, like, many times, like we can see in our own personal lives that we, even in spiritual life, we come together and, you know, like maybe, you know, since so many years, we are like, we may imagine that we are together, but, you know, few devotees amongst us will just rise very high in their service to Srila, to Srila Prabhupada. And so the point is like, are we happy about it? Like, you know, few devotees, they are, you know, performing so nice and they are getting special mercy. Like, there is one story of that was often quoted by Sridhar Maharaj of our ISKCON. He was called Jolly Swami. So he used to often quote the story of, this is a Western, in a Western church. So there was a church, like it was not growing. It had just 3-4 inmates, members, and they were always having difference of opinion and things were not growing in the church. So this one great preacher, he came there and he just gave a class and then he told, you know, that I can see that one amongst you will be the Messiah. One amongst you is the messenger of God. So immediately, you know, but who is this one person? I don't know, but one amongst you is definitely. So when that consciousness was, you know, implanted in the, you know, you can say like ashramites or the people, resident devotees of that church. So then they, each one of them, they felt like, you know, like this person whom I am dealing with could be, you know, that Messiah. One, like there was just 3-4 of them. So, you know, if 3 of them are there, then the other 2. So he has to deal properly with both of them. So that, you know, at least let me, I have not seen God, but at least as a representative of God, I have to deal properly. So he started overlooking all the difference, all the, you know, he stopped finding faults and he started, all of them started cooperating with each other. So because of this, what happened, the whole church, it thrived and actually it is our own actions that speak louder than our words. So by seeing the camaraderie between these members, inmates of the church, that attracted more members and that's how, you know, the preaching then further, you know, went ahead. Similarly, like there is one pastime in Prabhupada's Leela in which one of the kids of Prabhupada's disciple, they were all, Prabhupada was giving darshan to all his community members of that community. So one of the kids, he asked question to Prabhupada, telling that, Prabhupada, why are you giving all the mercy to Tamal? You know, you are giving, it was well known in those days that Tamal Krishna Maharaj was all the time with Prabhupada. So then Prabhupada laughed and then he said, no, actually I am giving mercy to everyone, only that he is taking it all. So Prabhupada's mercy is there for everyone, the Supreme Lord's mercy is there for everyone. But who is greedy to take it, collected? Like there is another one pastime, and this was in the last 1977, when Prabhupada just indicated slightly that, you know, he wants to drink the waters of the Ganges from the center, you know, the center of Ganga. Without, before Prabhupada could complete his sentence, Tamal Krishna Maharaj immediately jumped. They were in a boat, they were crossing the Ganga. So he jumped from the boat and he went and he collected the water and he offered it to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada drank it. And Prabhupada expressed his pleasure for that. So we can just imagine, like, even, like, first of all, of course, they were expert swimmers and they can do it. So, but still the thought will, you know, come in our mind that, oh my, you know, it is such an austerity that you have to deal with your wet clothes, you know, and you have to go against the current, and then you have to do all these things, endeavor for a pot and all those things. So, but he was just like not even a second to be lost. Whatever is the desire of Prabhupada has to be accomplished. So that was the mood of Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and that's why he got so much of mercy from Srila Prabhupada. And then what was Srila Prabhupada's own mood like, it's not that Prabhupada himself is considering himself as a big shot. Prabhupada considered all these disciples of his as representatives of his Guru Maharaj. He said that all of you are representatives of my Guru Maharaj Saraswati Thakur. And like, there was no like feeling like, you know, like of course, to instruct his disciples, Prabhupada did say that you never had. That was also a pastime in which, you know, Prabhupada's disciples did ask him that what is our qualification, that we didn't knew anything, and we could get this highest message of Lord Chaitanya. So what is our qualification? Prabhupada did say, yeah, you didn't have any qualification, I made your qualification. But what was the inner soft portion of Prabhupada's actual thing in his heart is that, you know, all these people are actually, I am helpless, I am a 70-year-old man. I tried for 40 years in India, nothing happened. I got a perhaps maybe half disciple. That disciple was not even dedicated to full time to he. That the relationship Prabhupada had with Acharya Prabhu was like almost like at a friend level. There was a reverence. I mean, Prabhupada had respect for him, and he was not like all the way sold out to Prabhupada. But then Prabhupada went to the West, and so many, just by Prabhupada had a desire to, you know, fulfill the instruction of his spiritual master, and he gave his life for it. So Prabhupada's great faith is that just, you know, the Guru Parampara just reciprocated with him, and they had already placed everyone, you know, they had given the mindset, they had inspired everyone to just cooperate with him. And it happened. Similarly, in the spiritual world, that is the same mood that the gopis, they follow, is that they know that Krishna gets perfect reciprocation from the advanced devotee. Radharani is most advanced amongst us. She is always, more than us. She is knowing exactly how to, you know, reciprocate with Krishna's mood. So they put Radharani in front and for Krishna's pleasure. So we as devotees, like amongst devotees and even outside, when we deal with other people outside also, we should try to see this positivity in people. Like Chanakya Pandit says that, you know, wherever you find, even if you find gold in stool, then you use it properly in the service of the Lord. You don't reject it. So similarly, like, we should also understand that whether a person may be in the fold of Krishna consciousness or may not be in the fold of Krishna consciousness, but all of us are devotees of the Lord, only that we have now come to the realization that we practice sadhana bhakti, and we are in the reformation process. So we try to get others also in this reformation process. So by absorbing the mind in the form, qualities, pastimes, associates of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we should render devotional service. This will drive away the influence of sense gratification within us. Because whenever we deal with outside or anything for that matter, anything we deal with is like we see that mentality of trying to enjoy this world is already there. Because since so many lifetimes we have this impression is that sense objects and the mind is kind of lodged with each other. So just bring a sense object doesn't take time. The connection immediately happens. We just want to enjoy that. But if we are deeply absorbed in the sound vibration of the Lord, if we are deeply absorbed in the devotees, if we are deeply absorbed in serving Rishikesh with our senses, right now we may not be having it as a natural inclination, but if we externally practice it, then it will one day definitely be internalized. The thing that is required is madhurubam ubayam tvajet. Like if we are absorbed in the Lord and His devotees, then the problems of the mind can be solved. Then we read ahead of this purport. The Lord also says, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayantite. To those who are constantly devoted and who worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. This is very practical. A teacher instructs the student if the student is capable of taking more and more instructions. Otherwise, in spite of being instructed by the teacher, the student cannot make strides in his understanding. This has nothing to do with partiality. When Krishna says, satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam, this indicates that Krishna is prepared to give bhakti yoga to everyone. But one must be capable of receiving it. That is a secret. Thus, when a person exhibits wonderful devotional activities, a thoughtful man understands that Krishna has been more favorable to this devotee. This is not difficult to understand. But envious persons do not accept that Krishna has bestowed His favor upon a particular devotee in accordance with his advanced position. Such foolish persons become envious and try to minimize an advanced devotee's activities. That is not Vaishnavism. Vaishnava should appreciate the service rendered to the Lord by the other Vaishnavas. Therefore, a Vaishnava is described in Srimad Bhagavatam as Nirmatsar. Vaishnavas are never envious of other Vaishnavas or anyone else. Prabhupada says that not only that we have this tendency very much that, you know, to be the cynosure or to be in the forefront. This is a standard, this is a gold standard that we have to follow this. Like that is the language of Bhagavatam, that this is scripture meant for the non-envious. And we are coming from the envious background, we have that mentality, but we have to work on our envy. So Vaishnavas are never envious to other Vaishnavas. Not only to our God brothers and our fellow Vaishnavas, but also to the outsiders. And therefore they are called Nirmatsaranam Satam. One cannot judge whether a person is a devata or an asura or a rakshasa by seeing him. But a sane man can understand this by the activities such a person performs. And then further Prabhupada writes a master stroke line. Maybe we can, you know, repeat this line. First of all, I'll just repeat it once and then we can try to memorize this. By external features, one cannot understand who is favored by Krishna and who is not. According to one's attitude, Krishna becomes one's direct advisor or Krishna becomes unknown. This is not Krishna's partiality, it is his response to one's ability to understand him. So try to repeat this. According to one's attitude, Krishna becomes one's direct advisor or Krishna becomes unknown. We'll repeat this line so that we'll kind of understand it. According to one's attitude, Krishna becomes one's direct advisor or Krishna becomes unknown. Again, one more time. According to one's attitude, Krishna becomes one's direct advisor or Krishna becomes unknown. So right now, we have got some little quotas of reciprocation, from the Lord, but we should consider ourselves like practically, we are in that unknown category. Who is Krishna? We don't know. But we have a relationship with the spiritual master, and the more we follow the instruction of the spiritual master, the more the Lord will be happy with us, with our attitude, and then there will be a point of time where, Krishna starts, guiding the devotee, that is a position of the guru. Guru is that person who is directly inspired by the Lord to do so many things, and that is why, because the guru, he does activities based on the inspiration of the Lord within the heart. Because of that, his activities are always accomplished. The Lord accomplishes his activities. So when we have the right attitude, then the Sharanagati process synchronizes very fast, almost immediately, with our own being. That is, we have to make the correction at the starting point only, at the base level. If our attitude is proper, then the process of Sharanagati, it works. Now, the process of Sharanagati, like we have emphasized enough, that of all the six limbs or six characteristics of Sharanagati, the most, what in Narada Bhakti Sutra was said is, like, humility is the most important aspect. The others, like Anukulena, Sankalpa, Pratikulasya, Varjanam, these are all supposed to be internalized, but it can be done in an external way. Rakshishyati iti Vishwaso, Goptupte, Varnam, Tata, Atmanikshepa, and Karpanya is what the Acharyas focus on. Having focused on this principle of Karpanya, humility, now we can attempt to understand what is the effects of Sharanagati on a sadhaka. So there is this shloka, Bhakti Pareshanubhavo Virakti Ranyatra Cheshatrika Eka Kala Prapadyamanasya Yathashnatasyu Tushti Pushti Shuddhapayo Nughasam. So what is the effects of a Sharanagati, a person who has taken shelter, surrendered to the Lord? So in this verse, that person who has surrendered is referred to as Prapadyamana. So for a person who has done this Prapadya, that is surrendered, what is the effect? So he has three effects, he is saying, that is Bhakti, Trika Eka Kala. These three things happen simultaneously. Like the analogy is given, for a person who is Yatha Ashnata Syu, that is a person who is eating food, a person who is hungry and eating food, he experiences Tushti Pushti Shuddhapaya. That is, he experiences, first thing is Tushti, that is satisfaction of the first immediate, with, and that is every Anughasam, that is Pratyek Nivala Se. Every morsel gives this experience. It's not that after you complete 10 morsels, only then you get one packet. Every morsel of food that you take, it gives you the three experience of tushti, pushti, shuddhapaya. That is satisfaction. Pushti is you feel nourished, and shuddhapaya means simultaneously you feel detached from the process of eating itself. And the relation for the sadhaka or the devotee is given, or for the surrendered, for the person who is saranagat, for him what he experiences is bhakti, same as tushti here, satisfaction for having served the great one. Like even in material relationships, when we serve a person, we experience some satisfaction. So when we serve the Lord, the token is bhakti, that is satisfaction of the heart. Pareshanu bhavo, that is synonymous to the effect of pushti, that is nourishment. That pareshanu bhavo is the reciprocation that the devotee experience when he actually performs this sharanagati in full, 100%. So sharanagati happens in 100% if at the base level that humility aspect is taken into account. Humility comes with natural gratitude of the heart. So and then virakti ranyatra, and then it is said that at the same time the person, the sharanagat person, becomes detached from everything else, not detached from devotion. The person who is eating gets detached from the process of eating itself, but the person who is sharanagat, he becomes virakta from everything else, anyatra. So the transposing is done like tushti with bhakti, pareshanubhava with pushti, and shuddha apayo, that is detachment from hunger, from viraktir anyatra. You know, he becomes detached from everything else. And actually thing that happens is he becomes more and more interested in the process of devotional service. That is a transcendental nature of devotional service. So I am again taking some analogies and some examples of how this process of sharanagati transformed. We experienced from the past stories about how people got transformation of heart and how sharanagati process works and what is sharanagati in term, because when we see the example of devotees in the past, then it clicks in us. Just the sutra doesn't work. So we know the pastime of Jagai and Madhai, in which ultimately the Lord Nityanand Prabhu delivered both these high class rogues, like they were Ravana and Kumbhakarna, come again just to participate in the pastime of Lord Chaitanya, because as Shishupala and Dantavakra, they had already achieved their position back home in Vaikuntha, but they themselves came, volunteered to join this Leela, because they have heard that in this Leela then they will get the Vrindavan Prem, that the Lord is, in this Leela the Lord is going to bestow Vrindavan Prem to everyone. So then they said that they want that. So they came here and they did, enacted the role as rogues, and they were number one, even the king of the Nawab of that Bengal, that area, was afraid to interfere in their affairs, because the Nawab will be harmed if they deal with this dacoits. So Nityanand Prabhu gave mercy to Jagai and Madhai, to make it short, and ultimately, but the process of Sharanagati was working in the heart of Jagai and Madhai. Madhai had previously struck Nityanand Prabhu with a pot and made Nityanand Prabhu bleed. So that was that remembrance that he is the one, okay, both of us got mercy, but he couldn't kind of forgive himself, that he was that one who, you know, hurt the most merciful ever, Nityananda Prabhu. So this thought of his was he was not able to forgive himself. It was kind of eating his own mind. So he was, you know, feeling remorse because of that, and he approached Nityananda Prabhu and he said that he wants to, you know, atone for this. He wants to do something for this. So Nityananda Prabhu then said, if you really, means because he's asked several times, finally Nityananda Prabhu said that you can create a bathing place in the banks of the Ganga and arrange for the people in general to have a proper bath. So Madhai did this, like he did service to the society and service to Vaishnavas, because he knew that he had, you know, done many things wrong against people. So as a service to Nityananda Prabhu, he did that. And when he was seated there in that place, so these people, they came to take bath, and then seeing at Madhai, immediately they would remember their past, you know, the wrong things that Madhai did, and then they would look angrily at Madhai. So Madhai would come and beg forgiveness from them, telling that, you know, definitely I have done so much wrong things. You please take bath here. This is my service for you. So then this person, he'll remember the past. You know, he might have killed his near and dear ones or done many bad things. So this person, he would become so angry at Madhai that now, you know, that saying is that, na sau chuhe ka ke billi chale haj ko. You know, now this person is, you know, kind of showing devotion. He has joined Lord Chaitanya's party, so he thinks that he's become a, you know, a great devotee. So then this person, he would take a stone and pelt him. And Madhai would bleed, but then what he would do is he would take that stone again and he would offer it back to this person. And that person, the anger was so much that he would again continuously pelt him. This would happen few times maybe, but then finally that person's heart will melt. So the quality of Sharanagat person is that actually he becomes, you know, very humble, and he becomes remorseful about his past misdeeds. And that is his mood. So because of this, this was a great service that Madhai did, because of which, you know, like preaching of Lord Chaitanya became very famous. That is why Nityananda Prabhu wanted to make Jagai and Madhai devotees, because if they become devotees, then that would create a big, you know, like revolution. Even in the college from which I am, there was this two devotees, Sri Kishore Prabhu and Hanuman Prasad Prabhu. They are initiated and advanced. They are my shiksha teachers. So they were well known for their, you know, miscreant activities in the whole university. And even the professors used to advise them that now you should take studies seriously. So, but when they came to Krishna consciousness, so like suddenly in a matter of five, six months, there was a big transformation in their heart. Their behavior and all became suddenly very exemplary. And one of them, he became the UT, university topper. From a person he was very intelligent person actually, but he was not interested in studies. He was just scraping through. So, but as a service to Lord Chaitanya, he performed his best and he became the university topper. And initially this professors and all thought that finally these boys are taking my advice seriously, and these professors to pat, oh, now you have become nice students, nice. But then when they came to know they are attending this Hare Krishna program, so they came and told Madan Gopal Prabhu, you know, personally on the face, that if these people have got transformed, you know, that means, you know, certainly your program and your movement is a bona fide movement. So we can just imagine that what is stopping us from not experiencing the tushti pushti shuddhapaya anughasam with every morsel, with every step in Krishna consciousness, like Vishnujan Maharaj used to, you know, this is the way he used to preach, you know, like he used to say that, do you want to be in a place where every step is a dance, every talk is a song? Do you all want to be in that place? So, yeah, we can be in that place where even if we look at a person, we'll smile at a person, we'll not be morose, we'll not be unhappy. You know, this is a spiritual world. Spiritual world is not something that, you know, like, will unfold suddenly, like digital logic, 0 to 1. At the time of death, something will happen. Spiritual world has to be, like, when we are in the spiritual world here, in the while living here and practicing, then that transformation happens in a very organic manner, that here itself we kind of raise our platform in such a way that we experience the everything in bhakti, you know, the happiness, the blissfulness. And Prabhupada says, just chant Hare Krishna and your life will be sublime. Just chant Hare Krishna and do not criticize. Be happy with others making advancement. Then you will grow more in Krishna consciousness. And you will say that this is a pastime that happened 500 years ago. Similarly, there is more pastimes, old pastime. But I want to also say that contemporary, it has happened already during Prabhupada time, and it is still happening at this time when Prabhupada is not there, because Prabhupada is always there. Because even when Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur had already left this world, Prabhupada was always feeling the presence of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur in his heart. Similarly, for all the followers of Prabhupada, Prabhupada might have externally left this world, but Prabhupada is there, he is running the show. And if we just have to connect with Prabhupada. So what is stopping us is, I've heard in one of the Bhagavatam classes here by Shatbhuj Prabhu, is all this mercy is flowing. Like there is one, I'll narrate a pastime of Shyam Sundar Prabhu and Gurudas Prabhu. And they, like Shyam Sundar Prabhu, he has given several classes over here. And he says that, you know, like he's a person, he's like, in those days he was used to experiencing miracles. Means, we may just say that this sloka says, bhakti pareshano bhavo virakti anyatra. Means we may say pareshano bhavo is something that you feel in the heart, a reciprocation, some desire you had that was fulfilled. Yes. But in case of Shyam Sundar Prabhu, he said, this kind of reciprocation, pareshano bhava, he felt not only from within the heart, but without also, externally also. He could, like he even when experienced the miracle of when there is no money, money just came from the sky. Something, someone came and pushed in some donation, something is not there. So they were like that, they were so dedicated towards Guru and Krishna that, you know, they didn't keep anything for themselves. And they kept, they didn't indulge in criticizing anyone else. They were always respectful towards their fellow brothers, and they always wanted to work in the interests of their spiritual master. In the sense, they wanted to expand, they wanted to think big. So there was no scope for any kind of negative feelings to come in. So Shyam Sundar Prabhu is the one who actually got George Harrison to Krishna consciousness. He got George Harrison to the Krishna consciousness movement. So like George Harrison, such type of big time preaching was done by Shyam Sundar Prabhu. And the position of George Harrison is like this, that after Srila Prabhupada, he is the person who has connected maximum people to Krishna. Krishna consciousness through his songs and all. So even Prabhupada disciples, they experienced this verse in their heart. And similarly, what is stopping us is like, we are only stopping ourselves in the sense we are just making ourselves rigid. There is one video that I saw in YouTube, you can also search, like how much time it takes to surrender. Sharanagat hone ke liye kitna der lagta? So Prabhupada says 1 minute. Or once. It is not that you have to follow some pros. No, after the class. How much time it takes to, you know, surrender to, you know, the process, the Saranagati, it just takes 1 second or 1 minute. It's your disposition of the mind that you keep. So, in that video, it's, I like, it's worth watching this video because we can see those old days, how these Prabhupada disciples, they were, you know, gazing at Prabhupada, they were as if drinking Prabhupada because we can see our spiritual master for a longer period of time, but those were the days that Prabhupada would travel all over the world, and maybe these disciples saw Prabhupada maybe 2-3 times in their lifetime, and that too for just 2-3 days maybe. And even when Prabhupada was, say, in a place for 2-3 days, these disciples were engaged in their services and they could just be there for a few minutes or few, maybe that class time, that's all. And that was not a private one-on-one session, it was a public session. In the sense, that is also, in sense, Prabhupada, whatever instructions he gave, it is like his personal instructions for all his followers. So, another one pastime that also I would like to narrate is on how even an animal, you know, an animal can also experience Sharanagati, the effects of Bhakti Pareshano Bhav Virakti. In the sense, this is a very recent thing. In the sense, this in Kerala, this temple is very famous, Guruvayur temple. And here in this temple was an elephant, a devotee elephant. So it's not like a small animal, it's a big animal, you know. So it's, I was just thinking like this, that Udupi Krishna is a deity worshipped by Rukmini ji, and that Udupi Krishna, he is there in Udupi now, and Guruvayur Krishna is the deity that is personally worshipped by Vasudev ji. So that deity is also, and not only Vasudev and Devaki, but also originally by Prishni and Sutapa. So it's a very prominent deity. But this deity was also like, the temple, if you go, is a simple temple, it's not a elaborate huge temple. But this deity became famous because of this animal, you know, devotee of the Lord. People used to come from far off places just to see this Guruvayur Keshavan. His name was Keshavan. Just to see his gracious, experience his graciousness, experience his, the desperation with the elephant used to take the Lord, you know. The elephant didn't, there were many elephants. Right now the temple has more than 90 plus elephants. This is one speciality of this Guruvayur temple, that the service, like the elephants are used to serve the Lord. The Lord comes out of the temple, you know, 3-4 times in a day and takes ride on the elephant. So Guruvayur Keshavan, he used to come, and all the time when he was there in the temple, he only used to take, and he also understood the feelings and talks of the people in general. So mostly he was gracious, but sometimes when he saw that, the devotees or people are acting too smart, so he used to also accordingly reciprocate. So once the manager of the elephant, the keeper, you know, so he asked the mahout of Keshavan to, you know, engage this elephant in carrying all the logs as the other elephants do. So then the mahout said, you know, this is Keshavan, he will not do all that. He is a special elephant meant for the Lord's service only. So then the manager said, after all, he is an elephant only, na? You engage him, right now he is free and we have so many things to do. So this conversation, it happened in front of Keshavan only. So when Keshavan heard this, you know, so he just walked out of the, you know, that place where they keep elephant stable or what they call that stable. So he just walked out of it and he just, like, people thought that the elephant has become mad, right? So then it came in newspapers and all that Guruvayur Keshavan has gone mad, and then he did this on the way. So whatever he did on the way also came in newspaper. So what this elephant did, he went everywhere, but he didn't disturb anyone. He was angry, but he didn't disturb anyone. He even went to a place where suddenly, you know, lot of school children, the bell rang and the children had just come out, and then this huge elephant was standing in front. So now all the children, they got terrified. So then what this elephant did, this elephant, he just stood on the side and allowed all the, you know, children to pass by. And then these are just the behavioral aspects of Keshavan. And then Keshavan, he came back, and this is just one instance where he became little angry with the managers, and otherwise he was always very gracious. And he used to follow Ekadashi Vrat, and towards the end of his days, in the final days, he used to do Nirjal Ekadashi. He never drank also water on those days, and he finally left his body on Ekadashi Tithi, which is special for Guruvayur temple. So, as Prabhupada says, that what is stopping us, even an animal can have feelings for the Lord, but we may not have feelings because of our mindset within. Like I met, I'll just conclude very fast by explaining how I met one Mayavadi sannyasi while I was in Kerala. And he is doing the good work of expanding Sanatana Dharma as far as possible in the vicinity. But at heart, then the problem with the Mayavadis is that they become agnostics. These Mayavadis, they learn actually Brahmavada literatures, but they degrade to Mayavada. In the sense, they do not consider Krishna as a supreme Lord. They consider him also as influenced by Maya, and they consider the deity as just a stone and meant to just bring in some good qualities for people in general. So I could directly experience how such people, after reading the entire Vedas and everything, not entire Vedas but a large section of Vedas, they are more well read than us, but they come to conclusions like, he spoke with me on how is it possible, like a four-headed personality will sprout out from the lotus flower that is coming out from the navel of, Vishnu. All these are just, imaginations of some people. So this is what that the Western atheistic philosophy mixed with Advaita philosophy becomes like Mayavadam and agnostic. It has become like atheism practically. So he was quoting me one shloka which is from this Guruvayur temple only. Like one devotee, Narayana Bhattadripad, he had written this shloka on he is seeing the Lord in front. How he has seen the Lord in front, how Krishna reciprocated and gave him the darshan face to face. So that he is saying, I'll just, this this Mayavadi scholar, he told me that he himself recited this shloka by saying Agre Pashyami. He is saying Agre Pashyami, he is telling that is a mistake that is done by this great scholar, because Narayana Bhattadiripada, he is like famous all over, like even today, even my mother today, she is doing this Narayanam recitation even today right now. So this that is a way of like we chant Hare Krishna 16 rounds, like they chant this Narayanam continuously every time. So this the end, this is the 100th chapter of Narayanam, in which Narayana Bhattadiripada is telling that what he is seeing in front. He is telling that he is not only seeing Krishna, but he is seeing the effulgent, resplendent form of the Lord, and that form is being like these. There are devotees around who are drinking this form, Piyusham Aplavitoham Tadanu Tadudare. And the form is described as, like fully youthful and so beautiful that all the gopis, they are standing in the vicinity, the river is there, Jamuna is flowing, and Narada Muni is also there, and Narada Muni is seeing all these things. So this is just the first shloka, and like this more 10 shlokas he describes of what he has seen. So what this scholar is saying again, he is saying that he should have told inside in my heart I see. So but these people don't understand that the Lord, like in case of Dhruva Maharaj, whatever Dhruva Maharaj saw in the heart, the Lord actually shows in front. So depending on the attitude of the person, the Lord reciprocates, and if we just work on our attitude, then the Lord is the encouraging factor is that Lord is Bhakta Vatsal. Lord is also Kripana Vatsal, means those who are not even able to follow the regulative principles, and it's difficult for them to follow all these things, but he has an attitude, he has a proper attitude, then there is lot of scope for such a person for improvement and getting reciprocation from the Lord. Hare Krishna. If there are any one question, then we can answer it. Otherwise, we'll do kirtan. Yeah, I'll shorten because they have to conclude also. So the question is, how much time it takes to become Swabhiman? It is a struggle for us. Thank you. Hare Krishna. No
problem. Hare Krishna. Let us thank Shri Vishwambhar Prabhu by loudly chanting 3 times. Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Hare Krishna, all the devotees who have come for first time for the Sunday festival can assemble at backside. Some devotees will come and they will be introducing you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. There will be kirtan. Please participate, everybody.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.